Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar design, installation, EV charge, EV manufacturing, wind, and workforce development training programs and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effect of higher energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiative for solar installation and renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also, the educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. The show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF. HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you're listening to this initiative over the World Wide Web. We're broadcasting over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We can be heard on iTunes. We are also streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on that organization by logging on to blacksinsolar.org. That's blacks, I-N-S-O-L-A-R.org, blacksinsolar.org. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, every week, the call-in number never changes. It's 646-2948. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into the living room and we want to sit down and have this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a scheduled guest this week. We had the privilege of having Mr. Elijah Perry on my podcast last week, who's the executive director for Grid Alternatives in Washington, D.C., and this very dynamic young African-American gentleman who is leading Grid Alternatives here in Washington. And I think you'll find his interview, very, very educational and informative. But as we normally do, being that we don't have any guests, we look into our archives and under our news and events tab, and we're going to put on the air. And we're going to lead off today on not one African-American-run nonprofit or institution selected in the 21 Coalition awarded by the Build Back Better Regional Challenge Grants coming out of the Department of Commerce under the Economic Development Administration. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to sort of connect the dots because we're going to talk about, in the second half of the hour, White House Intergovernmental Affairs Week, September the 4th to the 22nd, which is an online news bulletin that's put out by the Biden administration. And I think you're going to find how I've tied these two issues together. They help connect the dots on earlier podcasts that we've done recently. But first, we're going to go back and we're going to sort of drill down on not one African-American-run nonprofit or institution selected in the 21 Coalition awarded Build Back Better Regional Grant Challenge. Now, this is a grant opportunity that came out of Department of Energy and Environment, came out of Department of Commerce and the Economic Development Administration, which had a program which was called Build Back Better Regional Challenge. The second part of that was called the Good Jobs Challenge. Now, under this Build Back Better Coalition, there was $1 billion, $1 billion with a B, for the Build Back Better Challenge, Regional Challenge. Now, that blue link on our website, the challenge provides transformational investments in the development and strengthening of regional industry clusters across the country, all while embracing equitable economic growth, creating good-paying jobs, and enhancing the U.S. global competitiveness as a part of a $300 million coal community commitment. In other words, Joe Manchin had $300 million for West Virginia. That's why he agreed to support this Investment Inflation Reduction Act. The Economic Development Administration will allocate at least $100 million of the Build Back Better Region Challenge Fund to support coal communities. How many African Americans do we have working in the coal mines? That's interesting to me. On September the 2nd, the Biden administration announced awards of 21 regional coalitions that were finalists in the Build Back Better Regional Challenge, BBRC. This $1 billion grant competition created through the American Rescue Act. Remember, this came out through the American Rescue Act. So this money is already in the pipeline. This is the same act that sent you a check, sent out the checks. Okay? Challenge communities to identify and set connected investments that together could transform their local economies, expand economic opportunity and competitiveness, and create thousands of jobs. For who? I'm going to drill down on that. And you're going to want to know why I raised the question, for who? BBR awardees will each receive between $25 million and $65 million to fund 123 individual strategic projects to advance economic strategies benefiting 24 states. The federal funding is matched by more than $300 million of local investment and will leverage support from 450 private sectors, 27 labor unions, and work organizations. 21 coalitions were chosen, a highly competitive group of 60 finalists that each received $500,000 in seed grants after being selected out of 529 applications. The selected portfolio represents diversity of the nation and belief that the right resources and opportunities, all communities compete for it, the economy of the future. Well, the African-American community, we are evidently are not in a position to compete because not one of these under the Build Back Better went to an African-American-owned institution, which I'm talking about colleges and universities. I'm talking about banks. I'm talking about urban leagues. Now, these collaborations and these programs, there are links that will take you to the program resource page, and you can click on that. But this information is here, and we're getting ready to jump into it, and we're getting ready to really jump into it because we're getting ready to name who the winners are, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody loves a winner. But when you lose alone. William Bell made that song way back in the 60s. Well, it looked like black folks, we're still losing alone. Everybody loves a winner, but when you lose alone. Well, it looked like the African-American community, we're still losing alone because there's nothing in it for us. A regional coalition of partnering entities will receive awards, which I said between 25 to 65 million, to implement an average of 6 projects. Together, we'll rebuild regional economies, promote exclusive equitable recovery, and create thousands of good-paying jobs in industries of the future, including clean energy, next-generation manufacturing, and biotechnology. The BBBRC is an unprecedented competitive federal grant program that provides each regional coalition with significant funding to tackle a wide variety of projects, including entrepreneurial support, infrastructure, workforce development, and innovation. To drive inclusive growth, the projects aim to develop a strengthened regional industry cluster, all while embracing economic equity, creating good jobs, and enhancing U.S. competitiveness globally. Well, I question that. Really? Central Valley Community Foundation out of California. Description. The Fresno Mercer Future of Food Innovation Coalition, led by the Central Valley Community Foundation, will receive approximately $65.1 million to accelerate the integration of technology and skills in the regional agricultural industry, improving productivity and quality for existing farm workers while driving a more self-reliant food system. Well, I don't know that many black folks working in the fields anymore, but I understand that this will help our Hispanic brothers and sisters. Well, it seems like somebody will need to help the African-American community and our brothers and sisters in this community, okay? I'm being real about this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to double down on this today. The coalition unites partners such as the University of California, MERS, the California Farm Workers Foundation, industry leaders like the California Fresh Fruit Association, regional philanthropy, and local governments around the vision of more innovative equitable and resilient agriculture industry in the country's most important food insecure producing regions. Today, California's Central Valley produces 25% of the food's supply, yet one of the highest food insecurity rates among low-wage farm workers. EDA funding will launch to create. I understand people taking care of their own, but when we don't have our people in the heading these agencies to look out for our community, the African-American community, we in trouble. And it's just like the brother said on Brother Warren Valentine's show, if we ain't got key people that are sitting at the table, then we will be on the table. And look like we're on the table, ladies and gentlemen. And that ain't just me talking. Now, the city of Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm quite sure we got a few black folks in Manchester, New Hampshire, but I don't think this organization is being run by African Americans. Project description. Biofabrication cluster led by the city of Manchester will receive approximately $44 million to establish a southern New Hampshire as a global epic center for the production and distribution of regenerative tissues and organs, bringing engineering cell tissues and ultimately organs to patients that will revolutionize healthcare, saving lives, reducing healthcare costs while ensuring the region realized economic benefits. Having made significant progress in recent years, it is the tipping point where the series of targeted investments will complete the transition to market. So it looks like we had some folks at the table, and it wasn't us, okay? It wasn't us. Now, this is the city of Manchester, New Hampshire. The third is the bio. Okay, and by the way, they received $44 million. Then you had the coal field development of West Virginia. The coal field development of West Virginia received $62 million, ladies and gentlemen, of our tax dollars. And it went on to say the project description, the Appalachian Climate Technology Coalition Act, now led by the Coalfield Development Corporation, will receive $62.8 million to spur job growth in 21 economically distressed and impact counties in southern West Virginia by creating a hub of clean energy and green jobs. Can we say Joe Manchin? After decades of decline in the coal industry and related environmental impacts, the region currently suffers from persistent poverty and disinvestment. The EDA funding coalition will address the legacy of supporting the transition from coal to solar power, implementing sustainability refuse projects, abandoned mine sites, rejuvenating brownfield sites, new facilities equipped to train diverse skilled workforce and provide advanced manufacturing capacity, developing entrepreneurial programs to support the Support Employment and Environmental Sustainability Act. The Act Now Coalition combines deep community engagement, focuses on employment and environmental sustainability. The question is, how many African Americans would benefit from this in West Virginia? If you know Slim, and none left the building about 6 months ago, you might be close to catching up with what's going to be in it for black folks in West Virginia. Now, I'm not going to say we're not going to have a few people, but we're not running nothing, okay? Let's be clear. Now, this went on to say the Act Now is a coalition that combines deep community engagement, focuses on equity and justice, and strong employer commitment from more than 200 private sector partners, including four of the five largest solar companies in the region. Well, that eliminates black companies. African-American-based firms. Remember, that's what we talk about on this? We opened up our show talking about increasing market share for African-American solar installation design firms. I wonder how many of these companies are going to subcontract with African-American-based firms. Now, if you know Slim and you know none, you might be close to catching up with him or the answer to this question. As I said, they received $62.8 million. Now, this is interesting because we got some plenty of black folks in Detroit. Detroit Regional Partnership Foundation. The Coalition Global Epic Center of Mobility Grant. Oh, $52.2 million. Let's look at what description says and see how this is going to affect the African-American community in Detroit. The Global Epic Center of Mobility GM Coalition, led by Detroit Regional Partnership Foundation, received $52.2 million to transform the Detroit area's legacy automotive industry into a highly competitive advanced mobility cluster. Despite significant local assets and potential leverage of more than $5 billion in private investment. Oh, you're talking about the big boys? You're talking about they needed some money? You talking about Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler? Yeah. Is that the collaboration? You know, I'm just saying. The region's prospects are threatened by rising global competition in the electric and autonomous vehicle market. By the rapid pace of innovation in new mobility solutions and by the aging workforce that a new supply chain transformation center through which the coalition will provide direct assistance to existing legacy manufacturers to transition to the need for broader mobility products. In other words, Ford, GM, and Chrysler and the big boys needed this worse than our six HBCUs who applied for grant under the Good Jobs Challenge for workforce development training. Give me a break. I'm just bringing it to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is not me. This is what the job description says on who gets this $52.2 million. I'd like to know if how many of our people are going to be involved in this. EDA funding will address the challenges through a new supply chain transformation center through which the coalition will provide a direct assistance to existing manufacturers, which I've already read. Now, GE unites 136 coalition members, including Big Three automobile makers, United Automobile Workers, universities, and state and local community leadership in the vision for the collaborative and the equitable regional challenge. I wonder how many HBCUs is a part of this. Did you understand Slim and none? Now, they had a final presentation showcase. It's a five-minute presentation that you can click on. I'm going to let you listen to this one.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for this opportunity to tell you about the Global Epicenter for Mobility from the Detroit region. Detroit launched the automobile industry and put the world on wheels. No other region on the planet can say they have been a leader in this space for over a century. Today, our automotive industry is at a traditional manufacturing is rapidly transitioning to electric vehicles, autonomous vehicles, and the new mobility technologies. What happens in Detroit reverberates nationally and globally. And if the Motor City is going to thrive, we need to evolve again. The Detroit region knows reinvention well. Our region and the auto industry have survived and adapted to every major disruption thrown our way. Detroit always finds a way to bounce back. The Detroit Regional Partnership, representing 11 counties in Southeast Michigan, 5.4 million residents, as well as our coalition of over 180 members, is well positioned to lead the nation's competitive global position in advanced mobility. Mobility is rapidly changing with new technologies and new job skills needed. Every state, community, and person depends on mobility. A part of the advanced mobility transition, we know the Detroit region must address deep economic inequalities. In our region, the cities of Detroit and Flint are both ranked number one and number two most disadvantaged communities in the nation, something we are committed to changing. People of color and historically excluded communities were hurt the most.
Ladies and gentlemen, we already hurting the most. You understand what I'm saying? I thought they would get to that. That's why I wanted to play that. You're going to hear this time and time again. The question is, what black or African-American-owned run organizations going to benefit from this? How many African-Americans going to benefit from this training, from this money that's come out? Now, we are not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. We are basically hiding this information as it's rolled out. Now, after the Detroit Regional Partnership Foundation that's receiving $52.2 million, we have the Empire State Development of New York. This is Western New York Advanced Manufacturing Clusters. Grant, $25 million. When you click on the project description, Western New York Advanced Manufacturing led by the Empire State Development Corporation will receive approximately $25 million to invest in a distressed eastern side of Buffalo, New York, and accelerate the growth of advanced manufacturing in the region. Today, the manufacturing industry is threatened by hard-to-fill jobs, a looming retirement cliff, and the inability to attract and employ a diverse workforce. EDA funding will further accelerate the development of the Northland Corridor of Buffalo, predominantly black east side, by renovating two industry buildings and creating a clean energy microgrid to power the campus. The funding will also expand small and mid-sized manufacturing training at Buffalo Manufacturing Works and build out a cluster of readiness programs to expand on ramps into advanced manufacturing careers. This investment leverages New York State's ongoing commitment to bring prosperity to Buffalo and will help ensure cluster achievement and long-term stability. $25 million ain't a lot of money if you're talking about doing all this, ladies and gentlemen, but it's money, but it's not a whole lot of money when you're talking about this type of investment. If you're funding the actual building of a structure, the EDA fund will further the accelerate of development of the North Court of Buffalo, predominantly black east side. Well, I want to know if anybody in the African-American community is at the table and how many African Americans this gonna benefit. That's all I need to say on this project. And I leave it there because they keep throwing that black folk gonna get something out of the deal. We're told we gonna get a job. We're not told that we're gonna have our organization able to run and manage any part of this. So I'd like to know how many contracts are going to come out of this for African-American-based solar installation firms from this project. Just asking, just putting it out there. But that is the $25 million that will be going to the Empire State Development, and it's supposed to benefit Buffalo and specifically the African-American community. I guess somebody needs to call the mayor's office up there and find out who's doing what with hands on the ground. This sounds like something for the Urban League. Four Brands Community Fund in South Dakota. $45 million. Now, when you click on this, it will also provide what? Project description. The Mountain Plains Region's Native CDFI Coalition, led by Four Bands Community Fund, Inc., received $45 million to accelerate the growth of indigenous financing sectors to expand economic opportunities in Native American communities through alliance with Native Community Development Financial CDFIs, serving North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming. And the coalition seeks to reverse decades of historically disinvestment, institutionalized inequities for Native communities by creating a local-led financing structure to support indigenous businesses. EDA will provide seed funding for regional revolving loan fund intended to strategically deploy financial investments to Native entrepreneurs and small businesses, driving business development and quality job creation. Additional EDA funding will be used to stand up workforce training programs, implement data infrastructure, and make other investments that will expand the capacity of indigenous financing sector. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean no harm. And our indigenous brothers and sisters deserve every dime they get. I also raised the question, where is this investment for the African-American community? Where is the Green Economic Development Plan in the implementation of this Biden infrastructure plan through the American Rescue Plan for African-Americans across this country? Because the plan with the funding for North Carolina A&T is a drop in the bucket. Coalition received $45 million. Georgia Tech Research Corporation. Coalition. Now let's look at the project description. The project description on this particular grant, the Georgia Alm Manufacturing Georgia AIM Coalition, led by Georgia Tech Research Corporation, will receive $65 million to accelerate the adoption of artificial intelligence across the state's legacy industrial sector. With the coronavirus pandemic's acute impact on global supply chains, there is a renewed urgency for reshoring critical manufacturing activities. The coalition recognizes that artificial intelligence, AI, will soon be an ambitious feature of any successful manufacturer. The Georgia AIM Coalition will establish the United States as a leader in eye manufacturing while ensuring these systems compete rather than replace existing workers. EDA will establish an AI manufacturing pilot facility at Georgia Tech, a hub for research, testing, and training at AI Systems Coalition members across the state, such as Technical College Systems of Georgia. They got Spelman and Georgia Minority Development Agency will execute projects expanding awareness, training, and job opportunities to underserved communities and businesses. The Georgia Coalition aims to serve a national model to how to accelerate the transition of automation in manufacturing while diversifying the next generation of AI leadership. They named Spelman in this. That was an, which is a HBCU, but they are not the lead judiciary in this matter, ladies and gentlemen, by any stretch of the imagination. The lead judiciary, let me explain how this works. When colleges and universities receive these grants, about 55% of that grant goes to the university. The rest of it goes into the programming. We learned that putting together the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which I'm the president, a collaboration group made up of African-American-based firms. At no point in time did we not attempt. And as our lead judiciary in our project was Tougaloo College out of Mississippi. Now, this is very interesting around AI, technical college systems. So I need to do a few calls because they even left the L out of Spelman. It's two L's in Spelman, not one. So I'd like to know how much money Spelman's going to get out the deal. I'm going to play a little bit of this information because here we go again with underserved communities. 5-minute presentation.
So it's time to start building up, building back, and building better. Right here in Georgia, working to transform communities. Projects that will kickstart job growth and through the development of new technologies that will not only enhance America's global competitiveness, but also create a more resilient economy long term. Hello, everyone. My name is Donna Hayes, and I'm here today with my colleagues David Bridges and Aaron Stetson. We are very excited and honored to introduce you to the Georgia Artificial Intelligence Manufacturing Charter Project, also known as Georgia AIM. At Georgia AIM, our focus is the intersection of manufacturing, artificial intelligence, and innovations that drive economic development. With partners across the state, this charter will bring together rural communities and urban ecosystems, as well as Georgia's diverse universities and technical colleges, to activate AI technology and ensure the resiliency of America's manufacturing sector from future shock and global competition. Georgia AIM will revolutionize the industrial economies of Georgia and the nation through the equitable development and deployment of innovation in artificial intelligence. We will engage a myriad of manufacturing sectors from energy and aerospace to flooring and food production. Georgia AIM will take on supply chain challenges and prove that disruptive AI manufacturing innovations can forever transform our country's industrial economy for the better. We will support incubators to empower ideas from people that haven't always been there or have been brought to the table. Diverse communities will see the benefits of Georgia AIM, specifically underserved serve Black and Brown communities and rural Georgia communities of all demographics. We're planning to touch active military and veterans, women, and people without college degrees. So, what is Georgia AIM, you may say? Georgia AIM is a collective of 8 projects led by universities and technical colleges, HBCUs, nonprofits, and the state of Georgia, with immense support from the private sector that together creates an AI cluster unlike no other. Georgia AIM meets 8 of the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals, including quality education, reduced inequality, and decent work and economic growth. So from empowering technical education and manufacturing with our Technical Teaching College of Georgia, or building an equity-focused industry of VR developers with Spelman College, launching a mobile AI innovation studio that will travel the state to inclusive AI manufacturing, cybersecurity adoption, rural supply chain programs, adoption by small and mid-sized manufacturers, and an AI commercialization center, our programs will reach every corner of the state, from the biggest city to the smallest town. Education is also a key component for Georgia AIM, starting with students K-12 all the way to college. This focus on education will meet a critical business need to provide a highly skilled workforce and advanced technical training for the manufacturing job today and tomorrow, especially as they relate to artificial intelligence. Our AI manufacturing pilot facility will provide Georgia AIM with a world-leading proving ground for cooperative industry, academia, government pilot trials, and innovation of new technologies, cybersecurity gains, and workforce training to innovate, transition, and create AI manufacturing technologies and workforce with mitigated risk. Georgia AIM projects will develop upskilled talent and high-tech innovation necessary for AI manufacturing to move our state and America forward. Innovating faster and stronger will not only create jobs here in America, we're building back better with the power of artificial intelligence.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. This is Georgia Tech.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Alejandra Castillo, Assistant Secretary of Commerce.
This is the information coming out and what I said, I stand by it. Not one African American nonprofit institute selected awarded the Build Back Better Region Challenge Grant. I'm talking about as the lead fiduciary. And with most folk, I guess it won't matter as long as we get a piece. So that is the first one of these projects. And all of them are saying that they're going to address these issues in the African-American community. So what we are doing, we're giving it to you from where it is. Now, we talked about the Georgia Tech Research Corporation, Greater New Orleans Development Foundation. And we're going to look at the 4-H Future, led by the Greater New Orleans Development Foundation, will receive $50 million to transform the regional hydrogen energy sector by closing the cost gap between green hydrogen produced from renewable energy sources and other forms of hydrogen used today that rely on fossil fuels. The need for systematic economic diversification in Louisiana is urgent, and in the last decade, the region lost more than 22,000 jobs, good-paying jobs, in the oil and gas industry, leaving the legacy of emerging infrastructure workforce and demand-based prime for transition. By joint investing in technology workforce, commercial scale in use within the regional industrial base, New Orleans can drive the nation's energy transition. EDA funding will support the Nexus Center, a central campus that connects the entire cluster of ecosystems. The campus will coordinate a range of programming that advances regional economic competitiveness in the clean energy space while entering a core value, including entrepreneur programs and HBCU energy specialization to position students from the region, from historically black colleges and universities, as hydrogen energy leaders in the business, public policy, and law workforce training apprenticeship programs. Okay? Other projects include investments in test beds, improve hydrogen cost competitiveness, and development center hydrogen fuel barge located in the port of South Louisiana that serves the clean energy station for existing vessels. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to stroll down and we're going to listen to their presentation. And this is interesting, ladies and gentlemen, because all of this is embedded.
For 5 minutes, I'm going to talk to you about our project. It's called H to the Future. H2 is for hydrogen. It's a transformational strategy for decarbonizing the South Louisiana industrial corridor. Now, you know, Louisiana really has a history as an energy state. Fun fact is that the colors of our football team, the New Orleans Saints, are black and gold. And that's not by coincidence. It's because oil is called black gold. Now, why they're called the Saints, I can't answer that one. But we have a long history. But the reality is that the energy sector in Louisiana has been declining significantly. We've actually lost more energy jobs than anybody else in the country over the last 20 years, over 22,000 jobs. So that's a job challenge for us. We also have equity challenges, frankly, that are associated with this. One of those is that the energy jobs are only 29% held by minority workers, whereas 50% is the number for minority workers in the much lower paying hospitality sector. So that creates income disequities. And then finally, there's an environmental justice component here. According to the EPA, rural and black populations that are fence line communities that live near industry actually experience 95% higher risks than other Americans. So a range of challenges, both economic and social, in terms of equity. But here's the good news, is that despite these challenges, Louisiana is actually very well positioned to bridge to a higher job, lower carbon future. And this is based around a technology that is called green hydrogen. And just to give a little bit of remedial help on here, hydrogen, H2, is a key feedstock for most petrochemical and industrial processes. Traditionally, hydrogen is made by what's called cracking or splitting up natural gas or coal. This is dirty hydrogen. This is called gray hydrogen. That's everything that we've ever used. But now we're getting into new technologies, and one of the most promising is green. Now, this chart here shows you how you do green technology. You have offshore wind or another clean source. That then drives what's called an electrolyzer, which instead of splitting up natural gas and making carbon, it splits up water. So all you get is a hydrogen molecule and then oxygen. And then this bioidentical hydrogen molecule can be used to make ammonia for fertilizers that feed the world, to make petrochemicals like plastics used for refined steel and oil and gas, but it's totally clean. Why are we positioned for this better than anybody else? Well, it's easy. We are the biggest industrial users per capita of hydrogen of anybody in the country. And so what that means is that there's a natural built-in demand for green hydrogen that's going to allow it to scale and drive down the cost. Also, we have the densest pipeline system in the country. We could circle the Earth 6 times with our pipeline. We have the number 2 port complex, and we were ranked number 4 in the country by the National Renewable Energy Lab for potential for offshore wind to drive the electrolyzer and make the clean hydrogen. So how does this all hang together? Well, our coalition is 26 partners from across South Louisiana, from Texas to Mississippi, and there basically are 6 parts. It starts in testbed, which is universities where they are coming up with the applied research and things like carbon capture and electrolyzer technology. It then goes to H2 Nexus, which is a physical and symbolic hub, which has offices, co-working. It has incubation spaces. It has a new energy program. It has a venture capital space. It has university councils. It's the convening. Then we have H2 Manufacturing, which is prototyping, which is classic prototyping space. H2 Business Development, which helps the businesses grow and helps attract new green energy businesses in here. And then finally, workforce, which is the key of it, where we make sure that there's equitable training using our 2- and 4-year college systems. The result of this is that we can create up to 35,000 new jobs. We can retain 84,000 jobs. In terms of equity impact, we can have 5,300 jobs for BIPOC workers, over 450 for rural, 3,800 for displaced, and we can do this while reducing emissions by 71%. Thanks so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the presentation concerning the Greater New Orleans Development Foundation. Once again, you heard the involvement of our HBCUs. I didn't see the name of the institution, but we will find out who these institutions are and how this is, what role that they're playing. Then they received, as I indicated, the grant amount was $50 million. Then you have the Greater St. Louis, Inc. coalition named St. Louis Tech Triangle. They received $25 million. And we're not going to be able to get through all this, ladies and gentlemen. It is 11:51. I took up quite a bit of time in, with this process. So we're just going to name these other entities and the amount of funding because we don't have time today, and we're going to definitely drill down on this. The Indian Council of Governments, Oklahoma, Regional Advanced Mobility Cluster, that's $39 million. Investment Nebraska Corporation, Coalition Heartland Robotics Cluster, grant $25 million. North Carolina Biotech Center, Life Science Manufacturing, and the Biotech Center will receive approximately $25 million to strengthen its life sciences manufacturing cluster. North Carolina is the critical point of advance over 7,000 jobs and $7 billion in investment in the region by 2020. So now this also talks about North Carolina BioCenter project will expand their entry biotech training programs at 10 community colleges, and North Carolina Central University will lead the network of state historically black colleges and universities in the sectors. This is why I am raising this question about these institutions. Now, I stand corrected because they didn't make this claim. And you got to really know what's in this information. So, North Carolina A&T Central will lead a network of state historically black colleges and universities, and one of the historically African-American Indian universities to establish 6 training hubs targeted at underserved populations. The coalition is a private sector which will create ambassadors and mentors programs to break down the barriers to career industry and set up examples of prioritizing equity alongside energy growth. So this is very informative information. Now, you are talking about the lead fiduciary in this. No, they're not the lead, but they're talking about in the network they have HBCUs included. So if that's the case, we want to make sure that we're aware of what is going on with these HBCUs. Also, ladies and gentlemen, in this process of looking at this program, 21 regional award grants, okay? Now, as I said, if you read down in here, you're talking about the Osceola County Board of County Commissioners in Florida received $50.8 million for semiconductors. And if you click on that, it will talk about that industry. And there is also a breakdown in that project description. Building Central Florida Semiconductor Cluster of Baseboard Priority Coalitions led by Osceola County Board of Commissioners will receive $50.8 million. As I read down in this particular description, to accelerate growth for specialized semiconductor clusters, Neo City, a 5,000 area technology park developed in partnership with the state of Florida to impact the corona pandemic tourism in Central Florida, emphasizes the need for diversity in the economy. I don't see anything addressing Booth, Bethune, Cookman, or HBCUs in this aspect, in this particular grant opportunity. Then you have Portland, Oregon, $41.4 million. Then you have the Southeastern Conference in Alaska, $49 million. Western Pennsylvania New Economy Collaboration, $62 million. State University of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a lot of information. And I'm glad I delved down in it because it better prepares me to do what I need to do. And we stand corrected about this funding, but we don't know how much funding these HBCUs are going to get in this collaboration, but we do know there are no lead fiduciaries in this. So that being said, we're going to close another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to let you know who brings you this every week. Now, this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. And we'd also like to refer people to the White House Intergovernmental Affairs Week, September the 4th, which is this week, 2022. You'll find that under our News and Events tab, and you'll be able to drill down and get this information. So, with that being said, with all of these things that they're saying, I'm still questioning the connection with our African-American solar installation and design firms. This is something that we need to address. It still has to be addressed. Now, you know that this show is brought to you every week by who? The Positive Change Purchasing Incorporated, LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for solar renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar design, installation, EV charge, EV manufacturing, to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiative for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women, to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through the Black community, through radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You know that the show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information on that initiative by logging on to positivechangepc.com. Go over to our GoFundMe link and you'll get more information on this initiative. Also is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to another close of another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. As we said, we hope we brought news that you can definitely use. Until next week, we want to tell you to do what? Not meet us here, but beat us here as we close another edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace as we close this week.
Life is a song worth singing. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. Singing,
why don't you
sing it?